Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, the Almighty Most High God, Yah, in the name of His wonderful, only begotten, beloved Son, Yeshua, the Messiah in whom He is well pleased, saints. It is such an honor and a privilege and a great pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath that corresponds with June 3rd of 2017. You're talking about time moving fast. It is quite amazing that half of the year is already here, and it just seems like it was a month or two ago that it just began. You know, but it's moving at the speed that Yah said it would move in order that the days may be shortened for our deliverance. So I am so thankful and grateful to Yah and the gift of life through His only begotten and beloved Son, who is indeed wonderful. And thank the Lord, the Son of the Most High, Yah, for His perfect obedience to the will of Yah, accepting it as His own, even saying, not my will, but the will of the Father be done, you know. I'm so grateful for that. And in spite of all the issues of life, the distractions, you know, the hardships, these things that go on in life that the devil has certainly constructed to destroy us, to distract us, to hurt us. You know, I am so glad that Yah used that as a means to strengthen us, to encourage us, to let us know that we can find hope and that we can trust in Him, that He is ever faithful, that He has proven Himself to be the Almighty, Sovereign, Most High God, Yah, and there is none higher than Him. It is such a blessing indeed to be in the body of the Messiah and to have this faith that has been given to us. And through the trials and tribulations, through the hardships and the hurts and pains, that we grow in faith, you know. And so I just want to tell the saints, you know, to be encouraged, you know, be edified, be built up, be inspired, you know, inspired by the word of Yah and the Holy Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, you know, be enlightened, want to know, you know, we serve a God who is all-knowing, you know, so we ought to want to know the things of Yah and, you know, and want to know what is going on in the world, but not only want to know, have an understanding of what's going on, and so that we don't lose our hope, so that we don't soon quit and give up. You know, so we definitely want to be in the way of understanding. So when that enemy comes and through like a flood, you know, and all hell or hellishness or whatever you have it comes at one time, you know, then we have that understanding mingled with the knowledge of the devil and how he attacks and his MO, which never changed, his nature never changed. We have knowledge of that. We understand that. And then with the word and with the faith and with the hope and these armaments and the artillery that Yah has given us, we can withstand the onslaught of Satan as we're going to go through some things in this life. It's not pleasant. The Lord did not tell us that it would be pleasant. You know, when Yeshua came to this earth to redeem us, He didn't have a life of pleasure. It wasn't pleasant. His pleasure was in the obedience to Yah, but His obedience to Yah made Him at odds and at ends with the men and women in the way of this world, and even the God of this world, small g God of this world, that came against Him. There is no pleasure, quite honestly, to the saints in this world. Our pleasure is in Yeshua the Messiah. Our pleasure is in the hope. Our pleasure is in the word of God that give us this hope. Our pleasure is in the things of God, the righteousness and the holiness, and the love and mercy and grace of God. If we in this world, that's where our pleasure is. and the things that are of God. I can see taking pleasure in his in nature and the things that God has created, you know, for us to enjoy, be it intimacy with a spouse, be it, once again, nature, going to the mountains and the lakes and being able to travel and see the landscape of God's awesomeness and his creation on this earth. Those things are pleasurable, but they go back to Yah. But the things that the world designed, that Satan has designed, there's no pleasure in that stuff when you come into the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah. When you come into the truth and you really begin to understand that though it may be sweet to the taste, but it's bitter to the soul, though it may be pleasant and pleasurable to the flesh, that is damnation, it is corruption, it works against us, it destroys our soul, it separates us from Yah, because it is the pleasures of sin for the season of life that we take into it. We begin to understand that this stuff is poison, this stuff is toxin, this world and the cares and the ways of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is unto death. It is not into eternal life. We begin to understand this stuff. And this is why the topic today is hell has enlarged herself. You know, hell has enlarged herself. And I get that from Isaiah? Out of Isaiah chapter 14, I believe. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. You know, and we can look into this passage of scripture, you know. Because in the preceding verse, you know, it says, and this for us as Israel, as the true Hebrew Israelites, but then not only as for Yah's beloved and dear nation, that is the apple of his eye, but then for the Gentile nations that have heard and received of the gospel, the promises, they inherit the promises that God gave to his sons through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all unto leading to Yeshua the Messiah. So when you're born again through this word, that you have been, the seed of this word has birthed you into a newness of life, into new character, new behavior that is unlike the old, and we search out the truth. We adore and we take pleasure in the righteousness and the goodness of Yah. Then we all are born again, and the gospel has been preached throughout the world, so all the nations can be sons and daughters, can be children of the Most High God through Yeshua the Messiah. But you must have the characteristics of Yeshua the Messiah. You must have the conduct and behavior, not only you, but you and I. Yah is no respected person. We must have what was pleasing to him and his son Yeshua must be in our character, must be in our demeanor. And it is a work, an everyday work. It is a process. It is a progress. You know, it is a process, but that process must be a progress to unto perfection. Unto perfection. We are striving. It is the progress, meaning we are striving to perfection. We have not arrived yet at perfection, but we're striving in the way of it. And in that way, it is narrow. It is a pressing way. It is straight, it is narrow, meaning that it is difficult, not straight as in a straight line, but that straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. It is straight and it is narrow, it is difficult, and it is narrow. There's not a lot of room for doing the broad things of the world, to do the things that your eye that is never satisfied want to do the things that your flesh that is never satisfied want to do. That is a broad way, but we discipline ourselves. And so this is the narrow way when we walk in discipline, when we walk in sacrifice, when we walk in suffering for Yeshua's sake. That is the discipline. That is the narrow way. We can't do what the world do, even though our flesh would desire to do those things. We can't say what the world say. We can't be entertained what the world is entertained. We can't receive the doctrine of devils and of the Gentiles and the fun and the sport and the entertainment. We can't indulge in those things because we're in a narrow way. We are disciplined. We are subject to the spirit of Yah. And we want eternal glory in the kingdom of heaven. We don't want to spend eternity in hell that is going to be cast into the lake of fire, as we'll see. So this way, saints, it is a pressing way. And quite honestly, it is a depressing way, which is why we need the spirit of Yah all the more in these days and times, because the spirit of Satan working through the spirit of depression takes away the hope, takes away the life of the saints. It takes away the soul if we let it. You know, people commit suicide through depression. People give up on life through depression. Many men and women that are homeless, you know, that are on drugs, that are selling their bodies, that are going through life like zombies, they're depressed. That is one of the gateways of Satan's spirit to possess, to hold hostage the soul of a man. And when I say man, there's no respect to gender. And because of this, hell has enlarged herself, you know, as in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. So I was looking into it, verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And this is speaking spiritually more so than anything. You know, we are in bondage to sin. America is a sanctuary for sinners. It is the habitation of those that are hellbound. This is their glory. This is the pomp. They love the entertainment. I mean, it's like being at a banquet, a smorgasbord, if I'm saying that, if I'm mispronouncing that. But, you know, your eyes just see all of this food and just, you know, all the cravings come out of you. You know, a child in a candy shop, a candy store, you know, at Disneyland, just overwhelmed with just things that it can see to indulge in and to enjoy. And that's what America represents for the world, and the temptations that are faced here for the sinner man is overwhelming. But it put us in bondage and sin. When they speak about liberty, you know, when they talk about freedom and the constitutional right, that it is freedom basically from the righteousness of God, freedom from the holiness of God, you know, freedom from the things of God. It is a freedom that is an affront to God. It is a freedom from corruptible men that were in bondage to sin themselves, that have deceived the people to think that they're free. And when you're free from God, then you are in bondage to sin. You are in captivity to sin. And this is what it is about this nature, the nature of this nation. It makes you to be a slave to sin, a sin that Yah has delivered us from, you know, through Yeshua the Messiah. And we come into the likeness. We take on this man's name, Yeshua the Messiah, to profess him to be the Son of Yah, and that he has died for our sins. And so then we can live in a newness of life in the righteous order of Yah. But then the devil comes and take that word. He steals it, as he does from those you know, the stony grounds, and the word that fall on the way, you know, along the wayside, you know, from dry ground. The devil comes and he steals that word. And then once he steals that word that is life-changing, then we go back into the same behaviors and conduct, and we do our wickedness and our evil in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. This is the problem with Christians and the Christianity. And when I say the Christians, the forefathers of it, which was of the Gentiles. Christianity is not of the Hebrews. It is not the religion that Yah gave to his people. It is what the Gentiles conjured up when they heard the gospel, when they heard the truth, when they were invited into the family fold of Yah. Then the Gentiles, wicked men, imposters, you know, came in and they conform to religion to embrace their culture, embrace their traditions, embrace their paganism, and they mingled it with the truth, and out of that birthed Christianity. This is why a lot of practices such as Christmas and the fables that is associated with things other than Yah and other than the scriptures and other than the truth, this is where they're birthed. And so, you know, from the Roman Empire, Constantine, Rome was filled with paganism. And when Constantine decreed that what the apostles and what the followers of Yeshua was speaking to be no longer a crime, but to be accepted, he did it in mingling the culture of Rome, which was very perverted, which was very heathenistic. And so it has continued to be this toxic amongst the saints when they come through the gateway of Christianity. You know, it's a lot that comes with Christianity. It's the spirit behind it. So when I speak against Christianity, I speak against Christianity. I speak against the tradition of men. I speak against the commandments of men. I speak against the culture of the Gentiles. I do not speak against the Most High. I do not speak against the Messiah. Christianity and the Messiah are as far as East is from West. Many get offended, but you must come to the knowledge of truth, and you can see it. It's factual. It's not something that I'm making up. But when you see it with your own eyes, when you see this culture, when you see the birth of this nation, when you even go into the history and see the Roman Catholic Church, when you see the Roman Empire, these things are factual, so I'm not making this up. This was long before I was even born. I'm 49 years old, born in 1967. This stuff is old. I'm young to this stuff. But just look at the culture. Look at the society. Look at the men, the leaders that are running this world, that are ruling this world, and that are ruining this world. The presidents, the congressmen, the senators, the CEOs. Just look at the state of the world and these men that acknowledge Yeshua is the Son of Yah, that profess themselves to be Christians. So I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not slandering any person or any religion. Matter of fact, I don't believe in any religion. Islam, Buddhism, Christianity, they all are from hell. They all are made through men that are the servants of Satan to fulfill their heart's desire and to control the people. Yeshua wasn't like that. He came to give the people freedom. He came to set the captive free. You know, and so we want to be free. We don't want to be, as I said, you know, when Yeshua spoke, and he spoke about the stony places, and he spoke about the seed being amongst the thorns, and you know, parable of the sower, you know, that hear the word of Yah, they understand it not, and then it comes in, then come the wicked one, Satan, he catches that word that was sown into their heart, you know, and this is what we are dealing with when we are converted, and when we hear this gospel, but then we fall back into our way of life, you know what I'm saying, that was a life that was, Yeshua delivered us from. But Yah want us to return because mercy and grace is still extended to humanity. And we got to come out this world, and the world meaning the Gentile culture and nation and the characteristics of the Gentiles, meaning the European Caucasian people that are ruling this world. They are in dominion, power, and authority. It is not to be racist. It is not to be hateful. It is not to despise. It is not to even try to overthrow the government. You don't do that. The only reason I have something to say about the government with respect to presidents and senators and congressmen and those people it's not because they're on the secular side that I speak against them. That would be expected from the world. But it's the impostering that they are, that they call themselves believers and followers of Yeshua the Messiah. So I attack them, or I speak against them from that vantage point, because at that vantage point, then they're supposed to be my brothers and sisters in faith. And if they are in error, I have a duty to correct them. I have a duty to speak out against them. If they were not of Yeshua, if they had not associated themselves, and they were servants of the world in the sense of denying Yeshua, then I understand where they're coming from, and I can live with that. But these devils are children of Satan. They're not, and they are imposters. And from the conception of America, when they came with murder and with vengeance, with violence, with hatred, with what would be called white supremacy, with hypocrisy, destroying the natives and then enslaving our people out of Africa into this new world, they called it, which is America, and the whole North and South American coastline, you know, the continent of this side of the world, and did egregious, committed atrocious acts of evil wickedness, had their pleasure. Whatever they can imagine to do against us, they fulfilled it. Whether raping, killing, tormenting, torturing, experimenting, anything that would cause such harm and such pain and damage and suffering to us as a people, as they took pleasure in, they exercise that in the name of Jesus as Christians. And not only us, the Native Americans, and then people of color all over. So hell has enlarged herself. You know, you talk about hell. It's a place of retribution for the unsaved, you know, the unredeemed, the sinners. You know, even we have Hades, you know, which comes from the Hebrew word Sheol, but Hades, which means not to be seen. And it is a place in the state of the dead, the equivalent of the Hebrew Sheol, which is generally translated hell or grave. You know, Sheol, in that, it is synonymous, but it is not a place to be desired. And it is quite honestly like a holding tank for the unsaved, for the wicked, as they wait the day of judgment and the sentencing that is going to be executed to them. You know, we don't want to be, by any stretch of the imagination, we don't want to be a children of hell. We don't want to go to hell. It is not a pleasant place. And but many ignorant of this, you know, they, in their conduct and behavior, and we all have been guilty of this. This is why it is so imperative we seize the moment. We take advantage of time. Don't use time to gain the things of this world in negligence of your soul. You know, to want to be successful in this world, to want to prosper in this world, to get a sense of urgency to do the things that are pertaining to this world. You know, first seek the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, and the things of this world, they will be added unto you. The food, the clothing, certain fulfillments and enjoyments of life that is conducive to maintaining your spirituality in the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and retaining your sanctity or your sanctification, those things that will not cost us our soul. But labor first to seek Yah and his righteousness and take advantage of the mercy and grace that extends the time for us, even though the time is moving fast. But we have this still this privilege of Yah's mercy and grace to get it right, to repent, to consider, to make amends, to be reconciled. Use the mercy and grace for that. It is better to be in the mindset of doing things for Yeshua's sake than to think in your own mind that what you're doing is right, only to be told by Yah at that, on that fateful day of judgment, that you were wrong in what you thought to do. In your knowledge, in your understanding, you know, it is much safer. This is why I do things wrong, and James in the flesh, my flesh takes over, and I have to stay repentant. By no means am I perfect, but once again, as I said earlier, I strive unto perfection, but what I try to do is stay conscious enough to, when I do slip, when I do miss the mark, which is sin. Sin is missing the mark. There's a target. And when you miss that target, then it is sin. It is missing the mark. You know, my target is the imagery and the character of Yeshua the Messiah, to be like him, to be like the Father, you know, to be mild-tempered, watch my thoughts and my words and my actions and temper them into what is savory and what is fruitful and what is edifying. That's my desire. And I miss that sometimes, or quite honestly, oftentimes. But I thank Yah for the consciousness that when I miss it, I can see the moment. I don't sleep on a lot of things. Sometimes I do a person wrong, I come to them immediately. They don't accept me immediately because what I did wrong to them angers them. And they're still in the bitterness and the gall of that anger, and they don't want to hear from me. They don't want to accept anything I say or do. And a lot of times I know they're going to respond like this, but still for my conscience and my conviction, I have to go to them, try to make amends immediately because of the fear and dread that I have of Yah concerning hell and the final resting place or the final destination of even hell that we'll go through. So that's just my sensitivity and my conviction that when I find out I do something wrong, I try not to sleep on it. I try not to take my time on it. I try to be quick to make amends. I try to be quick to reconcile when I acknowledge, when I know that I've done something wrong, that I hurt somebody, that I've even hurt Yah. A lot of people in this day and time don't have that sensitivity or that sensibility. Yeah, it's better to not sin and not to transgress and not to hurt people. That's better. But in life, that may not always be. But the most significant thing about mercy and time and grace is to make amends while you have time. Don't harden your heart. When you hear that word, when the Holy Spirit gets to you, act on it. Act on it. So it can be a matter of life and death. So I try not to give space. But so hell is a place, a state of the grave, you know, and it comes from the Hebrew word Sheol. In the New Testament, it may be Hades, but when it's translated hell in the New Testament, it refers to the place of punishment. And then when it's translated grave, the reference is to the souls of good men. You know, so when it's translated grave, it is the soul of good men. But when it's translated, when those souls are referred to as going to hell, it is the place of punishment. And it also means the place or the state of the soul between death and the resurrection, that holding place, that place that the unsaved, the unredeemed, the sinner man is placed for the final judgment, which is eternal damnation. You know, and so an indication that we can use in condition of a Sheol or hell is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, you know, verses 19 through 31. I won't have time to read all that, but, you know, you do that for yourself and see how the rich man and Lazarus was a poor man, you know, had, you know, issues of life. You know, he was, in a sense, you know, he even had to wear dogs, you know, came in and licked on him. He was a beggar. You know, he wanted to, what the scripture would say, and I'll read a bit of it, you know, in verse 19 of Luke 16, it said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day, you know, luxuriously every day, that is. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, at the gate of the rich man, full of sores. You know, life has a way, we are so abused in issues of life that if people can really see our spirit man, if you will, or what's on or really going on in the inside, we are wounded. You know, there's some wounds in us that just have not healed yet. And the world pours salt on them to make matters worse. And so, you know, and in a sense, we are beggarly. We're begging for forgiveness. We're begging for life, you know, spiritually. And then even in this world, you know, being inundated with the cares of this world, the issues of life, paying bills, you know, worried about being able to have peace and safety in our community. You know, a lot of people, when they go to these politicians, they're begging them to address and resolve some of the problems and the issues of life. Many of us, if not all of us, is in the state of Lazarus right now, where we're begging for our government to do what it was supposed to do as our leaders, and as we pay taxes to that pays them to do what's in the best interest of the people. And then when we don't get what is due to us as taxpayers and citizens, then we're begging them, we're pleading to the lying politicians, even to the preachers that get the tithes and offerings, even to leadership spiritually, secularly, worldly, religiously, begging. And then we're wounded because of the issues of life, and there's no protection against corporate greed and the beast of capitalism that is tearing into the people. You know? So we're in this state of Lazarus, but on that fateful day when the rich man died and he was in hell and he seen Lazarus, now the tables turned. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. He was in paradise. He was in perfect peace and rest, made whole. The rich man is in a lake of fire where hell has been thrust. And he just want one drop of water. The tables turn. This is what the world needs to know for the actions. Media, television, marketing, promoting, advertising, the servants of Satan in this world that are drawing people to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that are just fulfilling everything that the flesh can imagine under the pretense of being free and liberty, when in actuality these men and these people are servants of corruption. They don't tell you about the end consequences to your soul. They have us so keened in on the flesh, but they don't tell us about the soul and the danger and the damage that it does to the soul, and is separating us from Yah, such that hell would be the portion of them. They don't tell us that. You know, so when we have read, you know, in Isaiah chapter 5, the fine print that these servants of Satan, the children of the devil, advertised to the world, you got to read the fine print. The fine print is the word of Yah, the word of God, Yah. That's the fine print. You got to read that to understand the terms and conditions of what the end result when you want to turn in that product that the world has given you at the expense of your soul. Before you sign off on agreeing to this contract with the world, you better read the fine print. Meaning you better come back and you better read this word, because if you don't read this word and you sign agreement with them in ignorance, it's a detriment to your soul. So Hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Hell has enlarged herself. And so the honorable men that are famished, spiritually dried up, that is, they're spiritually, they have no spiritual nutrition. They manufacture spirituality through religion. They speak about motivational things. You know, they are motivational speakers. These are the honorable men that are famished. You know, the honorable men as your senators and congressmen, your presidents, these men that people follow and that esteem, they have to conjure up things. But they have to conjure up things of the flesh because they're not spiritual. They're famished spiritually. They're starving spiritually. They don't have this word of Yah that would even change their lifestyle and their conduct and behavior to speak the truth, to be about the best interests of the people. You are famished when you're about your own selfishness, when you have greed, when it's about you, when you're taken from the poor to make yourself rich. You are famished. I don't care what it looked like in your possessions, your fine cars, your homes, and your multimillionaire, even your billionaire status. In your eyes, you are famished. Because your soul is the most priceless thing on this earth. They don't have enough commodities. They don't have enough minerals and precious jewels. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough of anything in this world that can be that can pay the price of your soul. It was such that Yah sent his only begotten beloved son, Yeshua the Messiah, to die for the soul. That was the only thing that Yah would accept in exchange for your soul was the blood of his son. And then he resurrected him and seated him at the right hand. There is nothing. You can't buy salvation. There's not a price that can be put on salvation. Your soul is tied to salvation. And you are famished when you disregard your soul for pleasures of the eyes, the pleasures of the flesh, and hell be your portion. So they're famished. No matter how honorable, no matter how wealthy, and the multitude of the people are dried up, spiritually dead, spiritually thirsty. A famine, but not of food, but a famine of spiritual consumption, nutrients, nutrition that edify the spiritual man, that makes you have the love of Yah and in righteousness and despise the things of this world that comes against it, that is ungodly. You love what Yah love and you hate what he hates. So hell has enlarged herself in this. You know, Matthew chapter 23, verses 22 and 23. Let's read that. Actually, I want to go through some more scriptures regarding hell because it's important for us. They don't teach this, but hell is very real. And everybody is so consumed in just materialism and just greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. And I hate that everything in America is centered around money. You know, you go somewhere with your family and the kindness of people for the most part, you know, when you are dining, when you are entertaining, what's wholesome entertainment, and people being kind, they're being kind because money is attached to it. In America, and it's getting worse and worse, this capitalistic society, the capitalism is a beast. There's not many people that do things from the genuineness of heart, from the sincerity of heart, from a humanitarian standpoint. Everything is about money. They're getting paid for it, or they are they're working for someone that has hired them to create an environment that's pleasant so they can continue you paying. But it's not for the love of souls of men like Yeshua. And like God had, he just loved men. Men didn't have to have anything. Don't have to give him nothing. Nothing. They give of their heart and soul, but nothing that is formed and fashioned by the hands of men. And for these liars that tell people to give an offering, give tithes, give something that God may bless you, Woe be unto their souls. Yeshua paid it all. He just won our heart, and in our heart, meaning our loyalty, our allegiance, our love, our obedience to him. Samuel spoke on it in the book of Samuel, but David spoke on it as well. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. You know, hell, even the state of it, it's not a good place to be on this earth, hell on this earth, you know, the torment on this earth. But certainly this is the hell that men have created. Where we don't, God can deliver us from that hell that men have created under the power of Satan. See, the worries and the cares and the things of this world, it's created by men in high places. You know, the scriptures speak about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You look at the wars, you look at the tribulations, you look at the persecutions, you look at the distresses, you look at the poverty, you look at the diseases, you look at the immoralities, you look at all these things in the world, the violence and the you look at the greed and the haves and the have nots and the lies and the racism and the hatred and the cheating and the lying. You know, you look at the adulteries, you look at the divorces, you look at the fornications, you look at all these things in this world that's plaguing this world, and people still oblivious to the dangers and still enjoying themselves in this world and equating themselves in this world, and you look at the design. It is not of Yah. Yah did not design this world to be like this. He did not design for it to be the weight and the burden that it is. This is the architect of men that is inspired of Satan. This is Satan's kingdom. And the only ones that are truly happy in this world are the children of Satan, the children of the devil, those that oppose Yah. But Yah people are not happy at the state of this world. Their happiness, or should I say their joy, is in the world to come. It is what it is. I love Psalms 9:17, when it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." I love Job 26:6. It says, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering." Hell, everything that people are doing in secret. God is already privy to. You know, Habakkuk made mention. He says in Habakkuk, there's a passage of scripture I want to go, not Habakkuk, but Amos. Amos 9:2 says, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down." So if they build in their bunkers, their safe havens in the earth, as the politicians are doing when they create this World War III, they think themselves to be safe when they be in the bunkers in the depths of the earth, or even as they inspire to be in the heavens, you know, and habitate and corrupt the planets in the heavens, wherever they think they're going to go to escape Yah, to continue to do their wickedness and evil after they utterly destroy this earth, Yah's saying, "I'm there. There's no hiding place. There's no place that they can be without his reach. They doing under other pretexts, should I say. But the thing is they want to be separated from Yah and the retribution that is to come. They make a mess on earth, but then they want to escape from the mess. And so they have an even campaign. Look at, they says, President Trump, some agreement with Paris that was supposed to be designed to save the earth, or, you know, to make cleaner air and cleaner water and these things. That agreement is just like the Constitution. It's from the pits of hell. It is nothing. It is worth no more than used toilet paper. We're dealing with the issue of sin, and sinners keep trying to resolve their problem outside of God. Sinners only make their problems worse. You're not going to clean the air. You're not going to save the earth. You're not going to clean the water because your sin won't allow you to, because you're greedy, you're ungodly, you're immoral, you're hateful, you love money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Continue to not get it, and people follow them. And so whatever treaty, whatever agreement America made with the other nations, and this is the thing you ought to know about the nature of this beast, America, that you cannot make an agreement with America. They don't keep not one agreement. They break every law they make and justify themselves. They don't keep no agreement. The face of America continues to change. So these nations are stupid in the leadership of this nation, of these nations, when they don't understand the character and the MO of America. You can't make an agreement with America, because the agreement you make with one man, the next man come in, he can utterly disregard that agreement, such as the difference between what former President Barack Obama did and now President Trump is in office. The Democrats and the Republican going at each other and tearing down what one another built, and it's just a vicious cycle. And we experience this with the Native Americans. The Native Americans got the short end of the stick, even though they came into agreement. Black people came into agreement with this beast and then Caucasian slave owners and masters, just a Gentile, Caucasian, Christian people. These are lying people. They are a lawless people. You don't make an agreement with them and expect for that agreement to have any type of weight or any type of integrity about it. These folks change and they make laws. They form their mischief by law. They only use the law to be suitable to them. It's not in the interest of others. But I commend Trump anyway, because you're not going to make no law that's going to clean the air and the water. Yah said he's going to destroy this earth. And the only hope that you have in any type of sustenance on this earth is when Yah create a new heaven and a new earth, new heavens and a new earth. What they're trying to aspire to is to do what Yah can only do. They thinking that they're going to restore this earth to its original state and that they're going to clean the air and clean the water. Hell, they bent on hell, man. That's not happening. This earth has been designed for destruction. And the only way you're going to save it is through Yeshua the Messiah, and turn your wicked, sinful heart over to him and save your soul. But the earth has been determined. It is a decree to be destroyed. You're not going to save this earth. You are deceived. Politicians, leaders, and the followers, and all them that are embracing and supporting this agenda to save the earth campaign and the agreement in Paris and all that, they're deceived, and they're being deceived, and they get all emotional about this stuff. I commend Trump when he didn't acknowledge some national leader that came, another man, and brought who he called his husband. And they say Trump did not acknowledge, the White House did not acknowledge another man, a man's husband. I commend Trump on that. It's certain things about this man I commend, and certain things that I see that he's more just in the eyes of Yah than Barack Obama and any other, and certainly other so-called Christian presidents and leaders. But Barack Obama was so dear to people, but he catered to their emotions in the flesh. And he's the one that said a man can marry another man. So when a leader come and bring his husband to America, the habitation of sinners, the sinner's sanctuary, I thought it was a great gesture that Trump in the White House didn't acknowledge a man's husband. But see, this is hell. It is the holding place. You know, and the scripture let us know that hell, you know, in it, let me read another passage. And he says, you know, he let the devil know that he should be brought down to hell in the size of the pits. But this is something about hell that is synonymous with the flesh. And you just put the two together. You know, Proverbs 27:20. And it reads, it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. See, when we're dealing with issues of the flesh, and it is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, they're never satisfied. They're never full. And this is why hell has enlarged itself, because people nowadays are turning more and more away from God. See, hell was not meant for men by any stretch of the imagination. God did not make hell for man. Hell was made for Satan and his demons. You know, the scripture, even in Matthew chapter, as I said, it is a place of retribution. Let's get that right. You know, Matthew 23, you know, I did Isaiah, I'm staying on point, but Matthew 23 and verse 33. This is how important it is to get understanding and knowledge of Yah's word when we're speaking of what this world is giving up for in exchange of their soul. But it says in Matthew 23, and I did have it. Let's go to verse 33. I know for sure verse 33. But in 33, he said, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" And in 20, the reason I guess I would think about 23 is because, or 15, I should have said verse 15, actually, when I look at it. This is what Christians have done in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. So I'm going to verse 15 of Matthew 23. And then jump to verse 33. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, woe unto you." He says, "For you compass sea and land." You know, you go about sea and land to make one proselyte, make one follower, one believer, to call themselves Christian. They do through their missionaries, you know, through their evangelism, the Gentiles in their evangelism, to get followers of Yeshua and to make themselves Christians. Then he says, "And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And this is fact. This is fact. And then it goes on to say, you know, talk about woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, for you are likened to whitened sepulchres. You are whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but you are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, which is lawlessness. When you see these press conferences, when you see these men, when you see these preachers, these politicians, these corporate executive, don't they fit this description? That they seem righteous, they seem honest and believable, but Yah sees their heart, because if he can look into the depths of hell, as he said in his word, then surely he can see the depths of the heart of men. That is much more shallow than the depths of hell that has no end. And the only place fit for hell that has no end is the lake of fire. That's why Yah says, though you dig into hell, go down as far as you want to go down, but I see you. See, we don't want to be in that place of hell. Habakkuk makes mention of Habakkuk 2:5, which is Sabbath scripture, so I give you scriptures. Sabbath scripture study, so I give you scriptures. Says, yea, also, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man. And I don't know if there's a nation more proud and drunken than what we have in these politicians here in America, though they don't like to admit it. But they're intoxicated. They're under some type of influence, if not drugs and alcohol, certainly by the influence of Satan, that is just as bad or worse. Who enlarge his desire as hell and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gather unto him all nations and heap unto him all people. This is fitting for what we're dealing with now. But I use Matthew as a sense hell is the retribution, a place of retribution for the unsaved, for the unredeemed sinner man. This is why I brought Matthew out. You know, and even in Revelation chapter 20, you know, Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14, you know, we just go through the scriptures, and so folks need to know, get yourself out of danger. You're in the gateway to hell. America, the Gentile nations, they are the gatekeepers, and that means that they have the doorway to enter to hell, and in hell, as we're going to see in Matthew, has a final place, and it is not a place where you want to be if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, now the opportunity to become a believer, but not a believer under the Christianity, but of a believer under the Holy Spirit through Yah's word. In spirit and truth, you must worship him. So in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and 14. And let me look and make sure I don't have any one trying to listen in, because I had an elder who wanted to make a comment, but I wasn't aware. Sometimes I don't be on a switchboard to see, but no one is there. But going back, Revelation, listen to this, Revelation 13 and 14. And it says, the sea and grave gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your life don't line up with the life of Yeshua the Messiah that he set when he lived, walked this earth, that qualified him for his death, and then his death qualified us to walk his life. And if our life don't match up with him, we are not in the book of life. Examine yourself to prove yourself to be in the faith and see if your life, your lifestyle line up with Yeshua the Messiah. If it doesn't, then we got to make that change. We got to take advantage of the grace that is given to us. You know, because hell is unquenchable. It is an unquenchable fire and warms, and we need to understand this about hell. The torment is unquenchable. You can't put out the fire. And it is with worms. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 47 and 48. This is the concept. We need to understand hell is not a laughing matter. You know, we may say to hell with you, and we may think we're going through hell on earth through the hands of the wicked, and that's true, but there's another hell that that we cannot be delivered out of if Yah thrust us in. And this hell, look at what it is. It says, verse 47, Mark 9, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched, tormenting you. It's not saying literally pluck out your eye, but it's just letting you know the things of this flesh, that it is better to stop the things of this flesh than to take the risk of going into lake of fire. to lose our soul. It is letting us know that it is better to cut off certain desires. It is better to disassociate ourselves with the things of the world, certain other people of the world, certain other places of this world. If it's a temptation, it is better to resist the temptation than to go forward and move into the temptation for the pleasures of the flesh at the expense of our soul. Hell is no laughing matter. It is more than just a word to throw around. Don't get it confused. This hell on earth that men is putting us through, making life hard, going through tribulation, going through depression and being oppressed, hardship, in debt, all of this and that stuff, this hell on earth through men, through Satan and his agents, is temporary. God can deliver us from it. But when God put us in the hell that he designed for Satan and his angels, there's no one, there's nothing, there is absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. And we need to be more conscious and more concerned about what Yah can do against our soul than what the devil can do against our soul. We need to be more conscious. Saints, we need to be more conscious of preserving our soul that God has paid a price for with the blood of his son, and it is not to be taken lightly, because this hell on earth is a facade in comparison to the hell that God has made for us, prepared for Satan and his demons. It is written in Matthew chapter 24, or Matthew 25. I'm going to end on this. In verse 40 and 41, Matthew 25. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And when we read in Revelation that death and hell was thrust in the lake of fire, hell, death, and eternal lake of fire, they are synonymous with one another. And for those that align themselves with Satan and his demons, you're not going to be in the book of life, and you're going to be judged out of the book of your deeds, the evil deeds that the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Yeshua did not cover. The book of life that this book here did not cover, doing things contrary to the scripture. Your book of life that you are empowered to do through the Constitution, through the laws of the land, through the doctrines of devils and the Gentiles that permitted you to do the things contrary to this book, the Holy Scriptures, you're going to be judged. Your actions going to be judged according to what you thought was right from those books, and have you live contrary to the book of life in Yeshua the Messiah, such that you did not represent Yeshua. You did not show the world him. Many Christians are in the belly of the beast, thinking they're in the body of the Messiah. And it's sad. Saints, I say be encouraged, but we need to understand hell is a real place, and it's synonymous with death, with torment, with retribution, and this is perpetual. It is synonymous with outer darkness. If you want to live in the darkness of this world, meaning that you are blinded to the light of Yeshua the Messiah, which is the light of righteousness and holiness and obedience. If you want to live in this world in darkness and do the sins of this world and believe the lies of this world and follow the tradition and walk in the broad way, then it's only fitting that Yah send you into outer darkness. It's only fitting that Yah send you into outer darkness, such as Matthew 25:30 said, when he says, and cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In some respect, we servants of Yah, as children of Yahweh, we offer service, whether it's our lifestyle, whether it's a word of encouragement. When we come into Yeshua, we're servants of His. We're children of Yah. So saints, it behooves us to consider the word of Yah and examine ourselves and make sure that we are in this faith and we're doing good by the name of Yah, and we're not taking Yeshua's name in vain and showing a character and the imagery of Him that is not pleasing to Yah or to Yeshua Himself. ID fraud. You don't want no one stealing your identity and doing things that's out of character with you, and then you have to be held accountable for it. Christians are turning people away from the Lord, the true Messiah. They're getting a lot of people in the Antichrist. They put them into the belly of the beast. They're not bringing people into the body of the Messiah. They're not bringing people to the true Messiah. They're bringing people to the Antichrist. And it's a shame, because hell is the portion, and it is awaiting, and it has enlarged itself, and it is fully equipped to handle the masses, though Yah did not purpose for hell to be designed for the people, but for Satan and his demons. Beloved, be encouraged, be enlightened, be empowered. Until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in His love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.